We need restoration, awaiting Christ's coming in our time, just as the world waited before the first incarnation. In anticipation, we are to live as restored people. I would invite you to stand during the candle lighting, please. Please join us. Watch. You know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep.
The night is far gone, the day is near.
As we watch, we light this candle as a sign of our hope.
Bring your restoration to your people, we pray.
This is the first Sunday in Advent, and our theme song is in Sing the Story, number 4, Rejoice, Rejoice, the Savior Comes. Today we will sing verse 1 together.
Good morning, and welcome to this, our first Sunday of Advent. And as you can see, the sanctuary looks different this Sunday from last Sunday. Quite a change from one Sunday to the next. So the word, as you remember, Advent means coming. We are waiting for what's to come. And it's not a surprise. And we've been waiting for what's to come for many years. We've done this. This year, the word restoration has been chosen as the theme. When we think of restoration, we can relate it to furniture restoration, car restoration, restoring a building back to its original or usable state. Restoration happens in our bodies when we heal. Restoration happens when our communities handle conflict and promote justice. Restoration can and does happen in relationships between people, between God and us. Restoration is a process. It happens over time. Throughout this Advent season, we will all be invited in different ways to look at restoration in our lives. The visuals that the worship committee has prepared for us will change as we move closer to Christmas. Of course, we will be bringing in the light each Sunday. and the light will increase as we move forward. May this time of Advent be a time of looking at the challenge of restoration in our own lives as we come together each Sunday for the next four Sundays. Again, welcome to each one of you here in the sanctuary this morning or listening at home now or in the future. May something in these Advent services speak to you exactly where you are at in your life. Please join me in the call to worship, and we'll read it as printed in the bulletin. Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel, you who sit on the mercy seat between the cherubim. We stand in your presence, seeking your face.
Shine forth, O Lord, in sight of your people, that we may see you here and stir up your strength in us. Come, rescue us.
The time is near. We are watching. Restore us again, O God.
Cause your face to shine.
We are watching and waiting for you, O Lord. Let's pray together. God, in this time of Advent, in this time of waiting, we pray for alertness to what truly matters without being distracted by trivial things. We pray for peace in all situations, no matter what the circumstances. We pray for freedom from all that burdens us. God, in this time of Advent, in this time of waiting, be with us. Open our eyes, our hearts, our minds. Give us a genuine awareness of your grace towards us and the humility to extend that grace to others. During this time of Advent, may we gain a better understanding of the restoration that is possible for each of us. We pray this together as one. Amen.
Let us praise God together in song, and we will turn to the blue hymn books and begin with hymn number 111. Please stand if you can. We are going to sing verses 1, 2, 3, and then hop all the way down to 7.
Thank you.
You've had opportunity to leave your offering in the offering plate at the back, and we will now bless that offering. Let's pray together. God of abundance, bless each of the acts of kindness given by people in this congregation this past week. Bless the various ways that people have chosen to give of themselves with love, asking nothing in return. This morning we give our collective financial offering. Bless this portion of our giving as well. In your name we pray. Amen.
He came down that we may have love. Let me add my good morning to all of you. Some I have already greeted face to face, and maybe some I will greet face to face when we get out after the service. However, if there are some of you who feel uncomfortable with the close gathering and meeting in the foyer, don't feel embarrassed to slip out the other door or zoom around a crowd, because we are all aware of viruses and illnesses that are being spread and continue. We have not gotten past everything that we want to yet. So make sure you are on the alert and do whatever you need to keep you safe and comfortable. I would also like to extend a special welcome. As you see, we have some guests sitting almost right at the very front, and that is because we have an Advent Reader Exchange happening this Sunday. The churches have traded people in different directions, and St. Olaf has offered up for us, this is not a sacrifice, I hope, but Isabella Sundby is here together with her husband, and she will read the scripture. If you meet them afterwards, greet them and tell them how welcome they are. You are welcome. And on our behalf, we have sent Mel over to Community Baptist, where he enjoyed a hearty breakfast before their service. Interesting, eh? So all of the things that you could luck out on if you decide, hey, I want to be a scripture reader next year, you have another chance. There's your first opportunity next year. I don't know if I'm going to go in any particular order, but there is so much here. There are so many opportunities that we need to be aware of. I think the first one comes on Thursday of this week. On Thursday at noon is the first of the three Advent services, ecumenical, put on by Swift Current Ministerial. It begins at noon. The service goes from 12 to 12:30, and then we all gather for the noon meal. And as luck would have it, this week Zion is putting on the service as well as the meal. So wouldn't you love to come to the United Church and support Zion? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we come and worship at your throne with joy as we anticipate the season, the change in our environment, the beauty of the snow, the beauty of the sunrise and sunsets. So much beauty all around and so many opportunities to get together, to be excited, to be happy. And we're thankful for these. And we look to you and we say thank you for these things. And as your body, we also come together in struggle and stress and pain. And you have heard the things that people have shared here today about their personal challenges. But it is not theirs alone, because we come together and we share these burdens and we lift them to you. We willingly slow ourselves down. We recognize the love and the joy that surrounds us. And with this, we come together with our brothers and sisters who are struggling, who are facing challenges for themselves, their families, their friends. We thank you for the way that you have answered our prayers thus far. We know who you are, and you are a God who loves and cares. We pray for the other churches that are also extending hands of warmth and welcome to strangers, to the lonely, to the heartbroken, to those with mental health challenges. Help us always to be aware of those who are struggling and to walk alongside with them. We pray for First Mennonite Church in Saskatoon. We pray for the Christian Fellowship Church in Rhineland. We pray for the churches in Myanmar. We pray for all of those who are struggling with their health. Not only in our congregation, in our community, in our country, and around the world, people are struggling. And into this world of struggle, you entered. You joined together with us, and for this we are grateful and thankful. And we lean on you for your support, your care, that the care and love that we extend comes directly from you, not from ourselves. And we pray together with one voice, just the way you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Isaiah, chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. The future house of God. The word that Isaiah, son of Amos, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In the days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Our second lesson comes from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 to 14. An urgent appeal. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone, the day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling or jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. I'm glad Aaron is not here today because my first question, I am sure he will correct me on either the question or the answer. And if he listens, I'm sure he'll get back to me and say, why did you speak my name when I wasn't there? My question comes from Cash Cab, for those of you who like to watch that and be educated. It's a very interesting program. Question, first law of thermodynamics. What cannot be created or destroyed? I heard somebody say the correct answer. And it's somebody who was wearing a mask, so it was very muffled. So I'll pretend I couldn't hear it. Both Tromhan and I shouted out to the TV, matter! Matter cannot be created or destroyed. We remember that from high school. We are pretty smart. We were not very smart at all. It was the wrong answer. Couldn't believe it. I still can't believe it. I went and looked it up. And on the internet, where all answers are right, it said matter. And I'm like, oh! But it was not correct. It was energy. Energy is that which cannot be created or destroyed. Now, why do I bring that up? I'm not going to talk about science. I'm not going to talk about anything having to do with science. I want to talk about energy. And the reason I want to talk about that is because I've been reading this book by Walter Brueggemann, those who are fans. He's a great writer. And this book is called The Prophetic Imagination. And in this, he talks about prophets, and, you know, Advent is a time for prophecy when we willingly look into the Old Testament prophets. And prophets are the ones who are supposed to stir the imagination of the people to whom they speak. Now, this doesn't just belong to prophets or pastors or ministers or evangelists. This belongs to each of us when we are speaking in a prophetic role. Now, I know you're getting nervous because, oh, what are you talking about there? This prophetic role, which actually energizes the person that you are talking to, it gives them energy. Sometimes we just say it pumps them up. Often the prophets will speak in critical language and say, you people need to repent and change your ways and prepare the way and these kinds of things. Yes, prophets do that, but prophets are supposed to also energize those people. Energy cannot be created or destroyed. So where does it come from? Where does that vision that the prophets use to energize the people, where does that come from? You all know the answer. It comes from God. Yes. And to energize the people, the prophet or the speaker, whomever it is, imagine yourself in this role, needs to speak the words of God, the ideas of God. Paint the picture, the vision of God, God's vision for God's people. And on this day, God is saying, watch, look, the day is almost here. What day? And as soon as we are asked to turn back into our Old Testament and we look at the beginning of Isaiah, not even the end of Isaiah, the very beginning, chapter 2, then we start to become a little bit deflated and we think, oh, we're talking about this old vision, aren't we? This old prophecy, aren't we? This vision that is actually for the end times has very little or nothing to do with us. And how on earth is this vision supposed to give us hope? Because here we have the first Sunday of Advent, the Sunday of hope. Our goal is to find true hope. Where do we find that? Those who are fiddling with their Bibles, please keep your finger in Romans as well, because I'm going to go directly to the end right now. Romans chapter 15. It wasn't our text, but this is our conclusion. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. And much like I did last Sunday, using the benediction as our conclusion, that is our goal. That is what we are working towards. Verse 13 says, "May the God of hope." I could stop there. That's enough. The God of hope. And we talked about God being the God of all things. Everything created was created through Jesus by God. There's nothing seen and unseen which was not brought into being by God through Jesus. The God of hope. Here's our goal. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. That hope is seated in believing. That's where hope comes. Hope comes in believing. Now you ask yourselves, believing what? Because if we believe the wrong things, or if we're distracted from the thing we are to believe, then we lose our hope. Things become hopeless. Restoration is our theme. And we are speaking about the God of restoration. There's hope. God is in the business of restoring. So things are not hopeless. We may look around and say the world is falling apart, but there is hope. If we are awake and hopeful enough to even recognize it. Did you know that this week was Restorative Justice Week? Right here in Swift Current. This week was set to be Restorative Justice Week, seeking resolution and understanding rather than prosecution. God is in the business of restoring. May this God give you hope in believing. We might be in phase one, however. Some of you know what I refer to because you live in Riverview. And there are three phases there, as there are in many of these kinds of buildings. And when you start to build, you don't start by building phase three, do you? That would be silly, because if it's the beginning, it's phase one. I don't know whom of you, well, actually, I probably do, who lives in phase one. But let's think about all of these people who lived in phase one and heard Isaiah's words of hope. The words from God, from this prophet, God's prophet speaking God's word to God's people. They had issues, they had problems, they needed a word that would spark their imagination, that would give them more energy, that would energize them again. And this prophecy is filled with shall, shall, shall. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And God is saying it. Now, if I say something like that, you can or may not believe me. I'll do all in my power. But if it's God who is saying it, we must believe it. May God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing. Do we believe when God says, "The mountain of the Lord's house shall be established and shall be raised above the hills. All the nations shall stream to it." Not might, maybe, we hope. They shall. Many peoples shall come and say, "Come, let's go to the mountain of the Lord." Wouldn't that be fabulous? Imagine if this were really true. Imagine a time when there was really peace between all of the nations, as it says here. Out of Zion shall go forth instruction, the word of the Lord. He will judge between the nations. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation. They shall not learn war anymore. Can you imagine a time when there's no war? If you cannot, you need your imagination energized again, because here is the prophet. I don't know how he said it, if he shouts it from the rooftops or with a bullhorn or just quietly. Shall, these things shall happen. God says it. God uses God's servant to say these things shall happen. And we should be, if we really catch that vision, we should be jumping up and down, lifting our arms and saying, yes, this is truly exciting. But we have become so calloused and worn out with the realities of our life. We have become dubious doubters. We have become dubious and we begin to doubt God's own word, because it doesn't happen in our time and in our day. We doubt it. And all those people in phase one who waited and waited and waited, they were waiting for the Messiah. Did the Messiah come? Please answer. Did the Messiah come? Yes. Yes, indeed. All of those people in phase one who waited and waited faithfully, the Messiah did come. It did happen. But we have been bombarded by our reality. And now the prophet Isaiah says, wake up! It's time to wake up! For those of you who want to read more from Isaiah, look at Isaiah chapter 60, 6-0. There is so much encouragement there, encouragement from God's prophet to God's people. Read it as if you really believe it. Seems odd to say it, and yet just imagine. I even imagine what it would be like if all of the people in my apartment building actually came streaming to God. That tiny, itty bitty little piece of reality amazes me. It makes me feel like, wow. And God says, this is just a drop in the bucket. That ain't nothing. You haven't seen nothing yet. When we catch the vision that God gives us, however, we'll never catch the vision if we're dubious doubters. If we hear, just like that serpent said right at the very beginning, did God really say? Is that really true? We ask each other all the time, is that really true? Well, I read it on the internet. I saw it online. I saw it on Facebook. Must be true. Meta, whatever. Phase one, let's not be dubious doubters. And Isaiah says, he's not going, you silly people, you blind people. No, you know what Isaiah says? And this is what I say too, together with the benediction in Romans. Come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. It's as simple as that. It's as simple as accepting and believing what God actually says. In Isaiah 2, Isaiah says, these things shall, 10 times shall happen. And then the invitation, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. What does that look like? In Romans chapter 13, because this hope needs to be seated in believing and shown in our actions. Romans 13, hear you TikTokers. Phase two, because the Messiah has come, we're in a new phase. We look behind us to see Jesus' birth. We remind each other of Jesus' birth. But Jesus was already born. We are now in phase two, and we're invited to continue to walk in the light of the Lord. What does that look like, TikTokers? Why do I say TikTokers? Because it says right here, besides this, you know what time it is. TikTok, TikTok. What time is it? It is time for us to wake from sleep. We become lulled into a sense of complacency. Everything is easy. We're not persecuted. We have no difficulties. Oh, then all of a sudden, wait, I have difficulties. I've got problems. Yes. Many of us have third world problems. First world problems, not third world problems. I'm not trying to diminish anyone's problems. Let's walk in the light of the Lord. The God of hope is longing to restore all things, and he is in the business of restoration, not like those Rust Valley restorers. Anybody watch that show? It's in BC. A whole field of vehicles rusted out, and they see a vision for each and every one and refuse to let go of any one of them. The field is getting fuller and fuller, and the pocketbook is getting emptier and emptier, and time is ticking away. Tick tock, tick tock. Time is up. Our time is diminishing, but God is constantly in the business of restoration. This is God's business, and we can join together in it if we are walking in the light of the Lord. Now is the time, and salvation is nearer now than it ever was before. Imagine that. My salvation is nearer now than it ever was. So put on the armor, you Mennonites. Put on your armor, the armor of light. We don't need to beat anyone. We don't need to try and make anyone anything. Put on this armor that's light. Every time you see a Christmas light, think of that, putting on the armor of light. We might look at this list and say, well, we don't do any of these things. Especially since yesterday was Saturday night. That's when people go partying, isn't it? That's when the traffic is the densest, when the bars close. And these people, oh, they live in reveling and drunkenness and debauchery and licentiousness. Oh! But then look at what Paul says. Not in quarreling and jealousy. This is not a definitive list. This is not exhaustive. But even anyone here now recognizes, oh, quarreling and jealousy. Yes, we are here in phase two. Put on the armor of light. Don't live in the nighttime. Don't live in our quarrels and jealousy. Put on Jesus Christ. And not in the sense of, oh, that's just a put on. You know how that goes too, right? Oh, I'm going to pretend to be super pious and super holy, super good. No, put on the armor of light. Put on Jesus Christ in the truest sense. Come, now is the time. Let's live in the light of the Lord in hope.
Thank you, Lois, for the invitation and the reminder to walk in the light of the Lord. So I would ask you now to turn to hymn number 176 in the blue hymnal, Comfort, Comfort, O My People, 176, and please stand if you can. We won't sit down for the benediction, so you can remain standing, and then we'll go straight to the sending song.
bow for the benediction. May you go out in hope, waiting and watching and living for the day of the Lord to draw near.
Please turn in that same hymn book to number 367, For the Healing of the Nations. We will sing all the verses. 367.
Permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.